to Canucks Brunch. Josh Elliott Wolf, Lena Sitagian, coming to you live from the Kintec Studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, working together with you in step. I feel like we can only do that once.
I wasn't here.
Fair enough.
You got your moment.
Yeah, there you go. And then Arash, next hour, we can do it together. You and me. Okay?
650, don't mess it up.
650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line.
We are officially in Canucks talk hour.
We are. So I got some reads to do. First off, Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and reno warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at DunbarLumber.com. That's the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line, which is flooded right now. Keep the text coming in. And this hour is brought to you by Rack Steel. Rack Steel offers industry-leading heli-forklifts and engineered racking solutions. Visit them online at racksteel.com. I've done it.
You did it. Good job. I've got a funny text to read right off the top.
So, by the way, just before we get into that.
Okay.
Two breaking news things. Adam Foote, head coach of the Vancouver Canucks, 22nd in franchise history. Also, an hour or so later, they announced the signing of Tom Molander to a three-year entry-level deal. Go ahead, Lena.
Chet and Burnaby, Canucks desperately waiting for Trantz to leave the country so they can news dump.
Yeah. We were hoping to connect with Thomas Trantz, and he's like, I'm in Jamaica and the service is bad. And I'm like, I don't believe you. You know what? You're in Jamaica, man. And it's okay. I feel bad for him. Because like, as much as, hey, yeah, you're in Jamaica.
And he's going to a wedding, too. Yeah. It's not like he's decided to vacation around this time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when you work this job, one of the things you're like, man, I hope I'm there for when news breaks. Mm-hmm. Because it's fun. It's fun to do these shows especially when we have two things that we've been waiting months for, weeks for at least, happens. So it's good. Text in 650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. Gary from Richmond, did this management team just make a genius move by stalling time on the Schedule A bonuses so that Willander did not burn a year on his ELC? Gary's saying they're playing 4D chess with Tom Willander.
They could be.
I mean, maybe. I feel like they were just a little hesitant to do the Schedule A bonus. Because to me, at least, I feel like there's more pros in someone signing their ELC, playing two or three NHL games, getting a taste of it, then there are cons in someone burning a year. Especially for the team. Like, from the team's point of view, they usually have less of a resume for that second contract to be super expensive. Because, like, how much are you going to improve your stock in 2 years as opposed to 3 years? Like, 3 years, by the end of that, you could be clearly a top pairing defenseman or whatever it is. And so, I don't know. There's pros and cons to both, but I get it.
I'm going to read some of the Tom Willander texts in the Dunbar Lumber text line. Jay and Poco, right-hand D-men do not grow on trees. Willander signing is very important. That's true. Kept the Willander signing at top drawer in case people didn't like the Foot signing. We had a few of those, actually.
Yeah, the news dump of like, hey, okay, Foot signed. Okay, now Willander signed.
But also, I wonder why they waited. What order would you have liked it? Willander signing or?
I don't really mind. Honestly, like getting them both out, I don't think it's that. I think it's like, hey, both these things happen to happen at the same time. At least for me personally. I don't know. Maybe other people have a different point of view on it. 650-650, Gary from Burnaby. Long text here. I'll try to read through most of it. So tired of screaming at my radio. Had to pull over. Josh, your thoughts on Foote are just a bit short-sighted and narrow-minded. Foote brings an outstanding resume as a player that has played on some very talented teams. He was a leader on those teams. You clearly don't fully understand the value of having a former D-man of his caliber at the helm. What he brings is not defensive specialist coaching. He knows how defenders and defensive systems can be beat. He knows how to identify defensive systems, soft spots, and how to exploit defensive systems offensively. He knows how to build a breakout. He knows how to beat a breakout. He knows how to control the offensive zone, and he knows where to funnel the puck to get it on net. That's Gary from Burnaby. I think we're both making equally as big assumptions. If you're making the assumptions that, like, hey, he knows how to do all this, that's equally as bold as me saying, like, I don't know if I'm super inspired by Adam Foote being the head coach, because I think this might be a too defensively minded team that needed some more offensive spark.
I just need to chime in and just say, in the text inbox, a lot of people are bringing up, you know, Hall of Fame resume, defensive acumen, all this. Being a Hall of Famer does not instantly equate to success. He's coached 1 year in Kelowna as a junior coach, 3 years as an assistant coach with the Vancouver Canucks. I want this thing to work out. Mm-hmm. I want this head coach to bring, you know, Quinn Hughes happiness, bring Petey back and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. I hope Gretzky. He's the answer.
Wayne Gretzky was the coach in Arizona.
We've seen it happen before.
Okay, so, you know, it's Wayne Gretzky. Why didn't they score 200 points a game? What's wrong with it? So any issue, we're just bringing up certain flaws that we're seeing in this hiring comparative to waiting a little bit, seeing who else shakes out. And seeing if there's a more comparable hire with more experience. That's the only thing. We can talk about positives with Adam Foote all we want, but it's this slight negative. You know, it's the one thing that pops up when you look at his resume. That's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. And for like so, when the two options of like Manny Malhotra, Adam Foote came out, and they seem to be the front runners, especially recently in the last few days. I was just a little more excited about Manny Malhotra because from what we've seen in Abbotsford, very short sample, very small sample size, seemed exciting. Players seemed to like him. I know Max Sasson was on Donnie and Dolly today, had a lot of nice things to say about him. My concern was the lack of experience. Mm-hmm. That isn't, like, Adam Foote has less coaching experience than Manny Malhotra does.
Yeah.
And to me, that's why I'm almost a little surprised.
Not by much.
Not by, well, so I guess it depends. Like, it's a few years, yeah. It's not like this wealth of experience compared to minimal.
Are you counting the Toronto assistant coach position?
So, in total, Adam Foote, like Arash mentioned, he has the year of head coaching in Kelowna and then a few years as an assistant with the Vancouver Canucks, obviously. Manny Malhotra, he has equally as long of head coaching experience, though, mm-hmm. in the AHL. So within the organization, obviously happening this year, it's a work in progress, but then a lot more in terms of assistant coaching. 650-650, keep the text coming in there. But right now, it is Canucks Brunch. Josh Elliott Wolf, Lena Stegan. We go to the phone line, the hotline powered by Power West Industries. It is Elliott Friedman, Sportsnet's NHL insider. Appreciate you taking the time, Elliott. How are you?
My pleasure, Josh, Lena. How are you guys doing?
We are doing very, very well.
There's lots to talk about today.
We got a whole lot going on.
Sure is. Where do you want to start?
I think we start with Foote. Just your thoughts on Adam Foote as the next head coach of the Canucks. Did this, for me at least, it kind of happened sooner than I thought it was going to. What was the process, with Foote?
You know
being
what,
head coach?
Josh, I would agree with that. It happened I'm not surprised that Foote ended up being the guy, but I was surprised at the timing. The last I kind of looked into it is that it was around Monday, and the Canucks were kind of indicating they were going to go to their short list of probably three or four people. They had done a lot of interviews. And a bunch of the names have seeped out. You know, obviously Malhotra, obviously Foote, Marco Sturm, Mitch Love. I heard possibly Todd Reardon. I'm sure there were more. I think they interviewed Pascal Vincent, and I've had people suggest to me that maybe there was another AHL coach too, maybe like a Todd Nelson. So I think they talked to a lot of people. And normally what you see is you kind of take your big list, and that's not unusual. It's not unusual for teams to do that much of a wide-ranging net. But normally it cuts to maybe three or four. You bring a couple people in for secondary interviews, and then you kind of make your decision from there. So when I heard it was Foote today, I was like, that is quicker than I thought. But you know what? Jim Rutherford could be an impulsive guy, and obviously they felt they had the guy they wanted to get.
Now, within the organization, there was obviously Manny Malhotra as well as a choice for head coach. And there was, you know, reportedly Manny Malhotra was the slight favorite. That was kind of the news that was going on for weeks. Now, what do you think was the ultimate decision to go with Foote?
You know, Lena, I think one of the biggest challenges of reporting at this time of year is that there's so many rumors and so much guessing at what's going on out there that sometimes it's difficult to separate fact from fiction. And, like, for example, I'll give you an example. Like, with Tocchet, I believed from the beginning that if he wasn't coaching in Vancouver next year, it was going to be Philly. And I began to doubt myself last week because of some of the rumors that were going around. And I kind of said that, and someone called me and said, stick with your convictions. And so, like, it just shows, like, I think anyone out there who's kind of following the sport, you hear so many things at this time of year that sometimes you don't know what's true and what isn't. I don't know that I would have agreed that Manny was the favorite, but what I would say is that I wouldn't have been surprised at all if he was the Canucks' choice. You know, Manny Malhotra is going to be a coach in the NHL someday if he wants to be. The respect for him is so large, and I just think his knowledge of the game, his approach, you know, the way people see him, his time is definitely going to come. I think, you know, I've sent a lot of tweets over the last hour. This is a really brutal year for the Canucks. You don't need me to tell you that. Everybody knows that. And I think that there is something to the fact that the players there, they know him, foot, they like him. He's shown he's a good teacher. Like a lot of those defensemen, Quinn Hughes is a great talent. Philip Ronick is a great talent. There's other D there who are really talented, but they've all kind of grown even more under him. I think one of the biggest challenges, Lena, sometimes is going to be an assistant coach on a head coach to a head coach on the same team. That's not always easy because you go from being the good cop to the bad cop. And some coaches haven't always been able to handle that very well. But I do think if you take a look at Foote, the relationship he seems to have with these players after a really tough year, I think that played a very big role into him getting this job at this time.
When it comes to Quinn Hughes specifically, a lot of our talk here has been like, okay, who do you hire that makes Quinn Hughes happy? And like, just make sure that he's as content as can be in Vancouver in what's going to be a pivotal season for his future, I guess. Is this the guy that seemed to be the front runner in terms of making Quinn Hughes happy?
Well, I don't think it hurts, Josh. I'll say that. You know, he obviously has a good relationship with Foote. And he knows Foote well. But at the end of the day, there's only one thing that's going to matter, and that is does Quinn Hughes believes the team is going in the right direction and he can win here. You can hire your friends. You can bring in somebody that you know is going to get along well with Hughes, but it's not going to matter if the team's going in the right direction. I think everybody here knows that. Do I think in the short term that Hughes is going to be very happy with this? Yes, I do think that. Do I think that Hughes will see the potential of this? Yes, I do think he'll see that. I think that, you know, Hughes really respected Tocchet, really thought highly of Tocchet, and he played hard, extremely hard, for a coach that he believed in. That'll start with Foote, too. He'll believe in Foote. He'll play hard for him. At the end of the day, you know, the results matter.
One of the issues that's being brought up is with Adam Foote is the inexperience as a head coach. Now, obviously, to help round out and give some padding to Adam Foote, are there any names that you can see being the supporting cast for him?
Too early for me, Lena, to tell that yet. Obviously it was a situation, as you guys know, that they weren't sure that they were going to keep Gonchar next year. So, you know, so you've already moved Foote up. You promoted him, so you need one person. And then you might need another one. So it's too soon for me to look at that. I hadn't heard any specific names. You know, Lena, it's a tough one because it's like sometimes it's sort of like six of one and half dozen of the other. You know, people say, oh, why do you keep hiring all the same people? Like, you take a look, like, Rick Tocchet just got hired, and I see people like, oh, how many jobs does this guy get? And now the Canucks hire a first-time person, and people are like, oh, you hired someone with no experience. Like, you know, like, just people always find something. Like, it's you can't have one and not have the other. I think that, the Canucks were willing here. If you take a look at some of those names we mentioned and some of the people we talked about, they were really not afraid of hiring somebody for their first NHL head coaching job. It was pretty clear because they also talked to Marco Sturm. This would be his first job. Mitch Love, who I think is going to get hired here by someone, this is going to be his first job. Sooner or later, you got to take the plunge. And people can't be whining about retreats and then saying, well, you can't hire first-time people either.
So the Canucks also making news with a signing as well, signing Tom Molander to a 3-year entry-level contract. Kind of took longer than I think people are used to when it comes to someone signing out of college. What went into this? Did the Canucks budge on their negotiations with Tom Molander?
I haven't looked at the numbers yet, Josh. What I'll say is this. I always believed that this was going to happen. I had heard that initially that he wasn't, that there was a chance he wasn't going to play either in the NHL or the AHL this year. And when, like, first of all, when he wrapped up, it was late in the NHL season, and Abbotsford's AHLD was so solid that, you know, there was thought he might not even get an opportunity to play there. So I wasn't as concerned about that when it occurred. I always believed it was going to work out, but it did take longer. I have to look at the numbers. Look, I think at the end of the day, you want the player there, right? He's still important for your organization, whether he plays here or he plays anywhere else. Like, that is still a player you drafted, and that is somebody who's got real talent. It sounds like maybe they budged a bit. I haven't seen it 100% yet, so don't go crazy on it. But at the end of the day, you want the player there. So it's a good thing they got it done.
Does this mean anything for, like, when we look at this Canucks team? I think Rutherford has been pretty upfront about, like, hey, free agency might not be the way to go for the upgrades the Canucks need, and it seems like they're going to be pretty heavily involved in the trade market. Maybe it's not Willander specifically, but does this at least give them the option to, you know, maybe take from their defense to improve their offense?
I think it's possible because Josh, they consider defense a strength. Of all the places on their roster, it's the one they're least concerned about. So, yes, if they do make a trade, they have an abundance there they can deal with. They definitely consider it their biggest position of strength. There's no question about that.
Now, we've budged this news to the bottom of the list, but okay. Rick Tocchet, you mentioned it previously about, you know, you should have kind of went with your gut feeling on Rick Tocchet to Philly when you heard the news of him, you know, deciding to part ways with the Canucks. Other than it being a homecoming of sorts, what else is appealing, do you think, about Philly for Rick Tocchet?
Well, I think he really knows the people there, too. Like, he knew Rutherford and Alvin initially, and that's why one of the reasons he came to Vancouver. And if you take a look, he knows Keith Jones really well. He knows Briere. And I think that matters, too. Also, and, you know, I hate when people say it's never about the money, because it is about money. It sounds like Philly really stepped up. And I don't have the exact numbers yet, Lena, but I think their offer, like, I think Vancouver offered in the fours for Tocchet. And term was probably either 3 or 4 years. And it sounds like Philly beat that. So I think, you know, the combination of, you know, who is there, people he knows, I think the attachment to the organization, obviously he played there. He was your prototypical Flyer. And, you know, let's be honest, they gave him a big, big number. So I think between all of those things, I don't think anybody should be surprised it worked out this way.
Elliot, really appreciate you taking the time, and have a good one.
All right. My pleasure, guys. Have a great day.
There is Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet's NHL insider, joining us on Canucks Brunch, Josh Elliott-Wolf and Lena Sitagian, and guests on Sportsnet 650. They call in on the hotline powered by Power West Industries. Don't get caught in the dark when it matters most. Visit them at powerwest.ca today. They keep the lights on. So a lot from Friedman there. I guess we'll start from the end. Rick Tocchet signing in Philadelphia. We haven't really gotten into that.
No.
I thought so. It came out this morning, and I was like, okay, we have something to talk about. And then Adam Foote gets hired as Canucks head coach.
We've
that takes over pretty quickly. Tom Molander signs during the show, and here we are.
Yet another thing to talk about. And of course, Canucks first, always. This is Canucks brunch.
Yes. Not Flyers brunch.
Not Flyers brunch. Mm-hmm. Although I do want to, I have put in a argument that we could make it Jets brunch.
Yeah, too bad. They're down 3-1
unfortunately.
Now. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's over.
But no, yeah. So we're going with the news that matters the most related to the Canucks, and it's been a lot.
So just quickly on Tocchet, I will say, I had almost like resigned myself to him not signing in Philly just because it was taking a while.
Yeah, and honestly, Philly's a lot worse off than the Canucks if you want to look at it roster construction wise, which I don't know, as a coach, I thought maybe that would matter.
Mm-hmm. It does seem like he got more job security and obviously a higher pay in Philly. So that plays a really big part, obviously. But I don't know. I was the longer it went on, the more I was like, well, if he hasn't signed in Philly by now, surely he's not going to.
Yeah.
Because like maybe they had an interview, whatever, just didn't go well. But
and then I thought the Boston kind of camp took over.
It seemed to make sense. I don't know. It was always kind of weird with Tocchet, but he does go to the place we all assumed he would go from the start. Just took a it took a while to get there. He took the scenic route to get to Philly. But that's latest with Rick Tocchet. He's going to Philadelphia.
And of course, if you don't know, Tocchet had two stints with Philly.
As
played
a player,
600
he's loved there.
He played 621 games.
Trying
with
to think
Flyers.
Of like what a comparable would be for it'd be like if Alex Burrows came as head coach for the Vancouver Canucks. People would just be pumped because it's Alex Burrows, right? But also in this situation, he like recently won a Jack Adams. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I can see why Philly fans might be excited by it. I will say I've seen some on Twitter not super pumped about it, but that's how it goes. Any signing or coaching decision you make, we're experiencing it right now with the Vancouver Canucks. You sign a guy, it's going to be divisive. And we'll get more into the Adam Foote promotion to head coach, the Tom Molander signing, all of it with Brendan Batchelor on the other side, voice of your Vancouver Canucks here on Sportsnet 650. It is Canucks Brunch. Josh Elliott-Wolf, Lena Sitagian, Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Vic Nizar. Have your say and join me on The People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets. Weekdays 3 to 4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sportsnet 650, Vancouver.
Welcome back to Canucks Brunch. Josh Elliott-Wolf, Lena Sitagian, Sportsnet 650, coming to you live from the Kintex studio. You can text in 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line.
Don't
no,
do
we're
that.
Not doing that.
Okay.
My bad. Actually, it's your birthday. You can do that.
Oh, all right.
Oh, happy birthday, Josh.
Oh, thank you. Canucks Talk. This hour is brought to you by Rack Steel. Rack Steel has the expertise to get you operating faster with forklifts and pallet racking in stock. Visit them online at racksteel.com.
Are you okay?
Yeah, sorry. I had a little cough.
We've got more airtime, which means more mouth noises coming out of Josh.
I feel like I'm not a gross guy. I just make a lot of mouth noises. Anyway.
You know who else makes a lot of mouth noises?
Brendan Batchelor?
Yes.
Is that your transition? That's your segue?
I tried.
Okay. Anyway, let's go to the phone line. Hotline powered by Power West Industries. It is Brendan Batchelor, voice of your Vancouver Canucks. Thanks for taking the time, Batch. How are you?
I'm going to put that on my, like, social media header from now on. Like, play-by-play voice of the Canucks makes a lot of mouth noises. That'll work well.
Yeah, people will love it. That's how I'm going to introduce you on every show now. Mouth noise maker, Brendan Batchelor.
Oh, my God. All right.
Joins us. So, Batch, your thought. We got a lot to talk about. First, we'll start with Adam Foote, new head coach of the Vancouver Canucks. Your thoughts on the promotion for Foote.
Yeah, I think when you talk to guys in that room, he's well-liked, well-respected. Obviously, you see what he accomplished in his playing career, and he's a guy that's had success and understands what it takes for teams to have success at the highest level and ultimately win the Stanley Cup. So you can understand a lot of the things they're going for by bringing him in. At the same time, this is a first-time head coach in pro hockey. You know, things didn't go particularly well for him in his head coaching stint in Kelowna in the WHL, although that was, you know, 5 years ago now. So you would hope that he's learned and grown from that experience. And Rick Tocchet always raved about him as well. It's going to be interesting to see ultimately, though, because being an assistant coach is very different than being the head coach. And there's going to be pressure on this team to have success and turn things around quickly. So, you know, it's not unprecedented for first-time head coaches in the NHL to have success, to be good fits and to figure things out. And, you know, everything you hear coming out of the organization basically since he's arrived has been, you know, positive, and he's fit in really well. And Quinn Hughes loves him, and lots of the defensemen love him. But ultimately, at the end of the day, he and the organization are going to be graded on whether they have success next year or not, and that was going to be the case with whoever they hired as the head coach.
You kind of touched on the inexperience as a head coach side of things. Who do you think, or what do you want to see the Canucks bring on to help with the offensive side of the game?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think there had been a lot of talk when we were discussing the possibility of Manny Malhotra about, like, okay, because he's a young head coach, he's relatively inexperienced, make sure you have like a veteran assistant or associate coach to help him out. I think that probably applies to Adam Foote as well, even though he's not as quote unquote young as Manny Malhotra, you know, because of the lack of experience as a head coach. Although, again, you know, he's been able to watch up close what Rick Tocchet's done over the last couple of years, a Jack Adams winner. So I'm sure that he can glean a lot from that and apply it. But, you know, if I was looking at this staff, first of all, I would say, okay, veteran guy that's been on NHL benches before to help Adam Foote through his first year as a head coach of the NHL. And then, yeah, someone offensively minded, someone that can try and help this team create more, because that really has been the problem for them over the past few years. You know, they've played very well defensively, and we've given Rick Tocchet a lot of the credit for that, but I think Adam Foote probably deserves a ton of that credit as well for the way he's run the bench and helped develop some of their defensemen. So hiring Adam Foote as a head coach allows you to continue to build on the foundation that you already have with the defensive core that you've built, with the goaltending that you have, at least for the moment, with Demko and Lankinen, and feeling good about that. So the questions for Adam Foote's first season as the head coach of the Vancouver Canucks are going to be the same questions we were going to ask anyway, whether it was Rick Tocchet, whether it was somebody else, is how do you get more offense out of this group? And ultimately, we don't know what the forward group will look like by the time we get to the season. We're expecting some pretty drastic changes in that regard. So it'll be, you know, interesting to see what Adam Foote has to work with in terms of what the forward group looks like. But yeah, I think a veteran assistant that has experience on NHL benches and maybe more offensively minded would be a smart fit in terms of helping to round out his coaching staff. And ultimately, we'll see if they need to round out his staff more than that. You know, Rick Tocchet kind of hinted that Sergei Gonchar might not be back at his year-end press conference. We don't know what will happen with Yogi Shevkovsky. Obviously, Adam Foote becomes the head coach, so somebody has to come in as an assistant at the very least. And I'm sure we'll get some more clear answers to a lot of these questions when Foote meets with the media tomorrow morning.
I don't know if you heard, but it was kind of a dramatic year for the Vancouver Canucks. A lot went on with the team.
No, I completely missed all of that.
Oh, I'm happy for you. It was a big story.
Busy making mouth noises.
Yeah, true. He was practicing in the mirror. But how important do you think it was for this organization, this management team, to, you know, find someone that The way I look at it, I guess, is like, hey, Foot went through all of this with you. And is there an element of like, hey, having someone that went through that experience, is that important for this team, you think, moving forward?
Yeah, that's one thing that, you know, I didn't mention off the top, but I think it makes a ton of sense to promote someone from within that was there through all of the dysfunction and all of the issues, both on the ice and off the ice this past season, because, you know, we expect some changes to the forward group, but I don't think we're expecting, you know, massive earth-shattering changes to the core, right? Like Quinn Hughes is going to be back. You know, I guess beyond that, we don't really know about Elias Pettersson and Thatcher Demko, but, you know, having a guy that understands the dynamics that went on this past year. And I'm sure if they've selected him to be the head coach, he will have had a pretty good pitch about how to get things back on the rails, how to build chemistry, how to move on from the dysfunction of last year, you know, which arguably will be more important than anything they do on the ice, right? Because you want to be aligned. You want to be pulling on the rope together. You don't want to be distracted by anything that's happening in the dressing room or interpersonal conflicts between your players. And I think that is a big benefit to Adam Foote as opposed to someone else that might have come in, even someone like Manny Malhotra, who, you know, was still in the organization, but, you know, Adam Foote lived the day to day of this difficult season. And so as a result, he may have a better understanding than anyone else could have of how to fix it and where things went wrong and, you know, have strong ideas about who fits where and what's going to make things work going forward. So, you know, if indeed Foote has a good grasp of that, if indeed he has a strong plan to get things back on the rails, not just on the ice, but off the ice, then that could make a ton of sense and that could be a really good fit. But ultimately, you know, we'll talk about all of these things and we'll spend a large part of the offseason discussing, you know, the challenges that Foote is going to face and what he's going to have to do to try and get this group back to where it was, you know, just over a year ago or around a year ago when they were battling against the Oilers in the second round of the playoffs. But ultimately, he and his team and this management group and the organization as a whole are going to be judged on wins and losses. So if they win a bunch of games this year, then Adam Foote will be a great fit and it'll make a ton of sense. But there's a lot of pressure now on him and on this team to have success and pretty much do it right away.
One of the things that's going to be of the utmost importance if the Canucks are going to get back to where they were last season is getting Elias Pettersson back to the level Elias Pettersson should be playing at. Do you think the approach changes at all with Adam Foote when it comes to Pettersson?
I would imagine it would just because, you know, Adam Foote obviously is a different person than Rick Tocchet, so he's going to deal with things differently, and he'll deal with things differently as the head coach as opposed to being an assistant coach. But I think the other thing that benefits Foote in this scenario is that, as we already talked about, he was there for all of the stuff that went on this past season. And, you know, that's not just being in the room and understanding the dynamics and understanding, you know, where things went wrong and where things might need to be repaired, but that also means he had a front row seat to see how Rick Tocchet dealt with his players and dealt with someone like Elias Pettersson. And so, you know, he'll understand, you know, maybe certain things Rick Tocchet did work, maybe certain things Rick Tocchet did didn't work. And then he's going to bring his own approach to coaching and that dynamic as well. So, you know, yeah, I think the approach will change just based on the fact that it's not Rick Tocchet anymore. And Adam Foote, you would hope, is uniquely set up to understand how he might be able to reach that player in particular, because he's been there. He's been in that room. He's been a part of some of those meetings and some of those conversations. And, you know, we heard Rick Tocchet talk about liking a round table approach where he took opinions from everyone on his staff, which means Adam Foote will have been intimately involved in everything that's gone on with this team over the past couple of years. And that, you hope, gives him a leg up on any other potential candidates that could have had this job, because he has a greater understanding than anyone else could of the task that's in front of him and what he's going to have to do to make this team successful and certainly make a player like Elias Pettersson successful, assuming he's still in Canuck colors come the fall.
A guy I'm sure Adam Foote is excited to develop is, of course, Tom Willander, who's finally been signed. Just your thoughts on that and how, you know, he could fit into the roster.
Yeah, well, it's nice that they were able to get that done. And, you know, they've ticked off two pretty important boxes on the offseason checklist in one day here with Adam Foote as the head coach and now Tom Willander being signed. And he's going to have an opportunity to make this team out of camp. But I think it's also worth noting that with the development of some of the other defensemen that got to play NHL games late this past year, it's not like we're sitting here and saying, okay, Tom Willander guaranteed on the third pair playing night number one. He's going to have to come into training camp and earn it. And, you know, on top of the fact that he'll have competition from the likes of Elias Pettersson, Victor Mancini, just to name a couple, you know, this is an organization or a management group anyway that has shown that they're perfectly willing to slow cook prospects if they don't think they're ready. They did it in Pittsburgh to very good effect. We've seen them do it here in Vancouver with a guy like Jonathan Lekkomäki, who wasn't necessarily gifted a spot in the NHL right away, although he has played some games with the big club now. So, you know, as much as it's very important, you get your first round pick signed. He had a great final year of college hockey. He's going to have a chance to come in and earn a spot at training camp. I think the most important thing to remember is he still has to earn that spot. And when you've got a guy like Elias Pettersson, who turned heads as much as he did late this past season, that spot is not going to be gifted to you. And that's probably the way it should be for an organization that wants to have success and sort of turn a corner here. So, you know, I think that'll be one of the more fascinating camp battles to watch, at least how the roster is currently constructed. Of course, we're expecting changes to the forward group, so we'll wait and see how things look. There is also a possibility that some of these young defensemen, you know, could be traded to try and help deal with the forward situation. So will Elias Pettersson be at camp? Will Tom Willander even be at camp? These are open-ended questions that don't have an answer to them right now, but assuming the makeup of the current blue line core, Willander will have to come in and have a strong camp and show that he deserves to be on the roster, because I think they're an organization that, you know, if he's not ready, they'd be very willing and patient in sending him to Abbotsford if they feel they need to.
It is Canucks Brunch. Josh Elliott-Wolf, Lena Sategan, joined by voice of the Vancouver Canucks on Sportsnet 650, Brendan Batchelor. So you mentioned the offseason checklist. And yes, two of the biggest things, getting a head coach, getting Tom Willander signed, both done today. What do you think is next on the checklist for the Canucks this offseason?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I think probably building out Adam Foote's staff is going to be the immediate pressing issue. And you know, we had sort of heard some reports and some rumblings that, you know, the Canucks wanted to get their guy locked up so that they might have the jump on some other teams in terms of hiring assistant coaches and finding people that are the right fit, you know, because they can now start having those conversations, whereas some of the other teams that haven't chosen their head coach yet will be waiting to make those decisions before they look at, you know, who's going to be on the staff for those various other teams. So I would imagine that we'll hear that from Adam Foote and from the organization tomorrow, that, you know, their immediate priority will be figuring out who's going to be on the bench with him. And then beyond that, you're looking at getting ready for the draft. I know Jim Rutherford mentioned that Patrick Alvin was at the under-18s when Rutherford met with the media last, because Alvin was away on that scouting trip. So you're looking ahead to the draft. And, you know, then we're getting to the point where, you know, we're into the later stages of the playoffs, conversations around potential trades and how exactly they're going to fill the holes on their roster will begin in earnest in the next few weeks, I would assume. And then ultimately, when you get to around draft time in late June, that's when a lot of the groundwork that they might be able to lay in the next 6 weeks will pay off in terms of, are they able to make moves? Are they able to, you know, help address some of their issues on the trade market? Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, by their own admission, they've talked about how, you know, they're not likely to solve all their problems in free agency, and it is going to take trades to acquire some of the players they feel they need. So, you know, that I would imagine is what the short-term future looks like here. First of all, getting your coaching staff figured out. And second of all, trying to figure out how you're going to address the needs you have up your roster, and particularly down the middle with the forward group.
Batch, appreciate you taking the time, and have a good one.
All right, guys, I'm going back to making more mouth noises. Have a good one.
Good to hear. Good to hear. That makes me feel good. Makes me feel calm and safe. That
as long as if Batch is making mouth noises, you can make
mouth
noises.
I can do it, too. There is Brendan Batchelor, voice of the Vancouver Canucks here on Sportsnet 650, talking about the Adam Foote promotion, the Tom Willander signing. And I did mention it earlier in the show, but Quinn Hughes has spoken about Adam Foote before a few times and has had great things to say about him. I did want to play a clip. So this is Quinn Hughes. He was speaking post-game this season, February 26th, to TNT, and he was asked about Adam Foote. Here's what he had to say.
There's a lot of coaches out there that, you know, scream and yell, and they want to, you know, bully their players, intimidate their players, and this is a guy that I would say coaches his defenseman, coaches his players like he'd want his kids coached. And then on top of that, with all the experience he has, and, you know, Rick said it before, he doesn't, you know, think of himself as a coach. He thinks of himself as a teacher, and he's teaching us. And Footy and Rick's job is to win games, but also it's to make everyone a better player. And, you know, you want to be a better player in March than you were September, and then hopefully a better team as well. And I think it's not just process, you know, results-based wins and losses. It's trying to make people better people, better players. And, you know, over the course of my 3 years with these guys, my game's kind of taken off here, and that's a big part to them. So, yeah.
There is Quinn Hughes talking about Adam Foote a few months ago, and obviously he mentions Rick talking in there too, kind of makes it more of a, like, the whole coaching staff has helped him get to where he is. Kind of thing. And he has said in the past, like, Rick Tocchet, he thinks is the best head coach he's ever had in the NHL. But there were some glowing things about Adam Foote in there as well. So if you're looking for positives,
yeah,
I think that's a pretty big
Quinn
one.
Quinn Hughes' game took off thanks to these two guys, essentially, mm-hmm. is what he said. Not a scream yell type of coaching system.
No. So, I mean, we'll see.
No bullying.
No bullying in that from Adam Foote. So we'll see. Do they bring in a rah-rah guy as an assistant? I feel like Adam Foote has it in him to be it'll be fine.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I will say when I'm, again, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not super pumped about an Adam Foote hiring. Like, he wouldn't be my first choice. But that being said, one of the things I do think he can do really well, among a few things, is being a leader. And that's one thing that Alvin mentioned in the statement they put out when they announced the hiring this morning. I do think he's very capable of leading that room. And when we talk about the Hall of Fame resumes and what someone's done throughout their career, I do think that plays a big part. Like, being a leader on winning teams, Adam Foote has done that. And I think he can bring that element to the head coaching position in Vancouver. And one thing Elliot Friedman mentioned when we had him on last segment was sometimes it's difficult going from being an assistant coach to a head coach because you were the good guy, now you're the bad guy. I don't know how that room works or anything like that, but I don't feel like that's going to be too big of an issue for Adam Foote.
Maybe there wasn't that dynamic to begin with, right? The good cop, bad cop. Maybe they were both good cops.
And bad cops. All rolled up into one. Yeah. Depending on who you ask. Who knows?
Exactly.
650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. Keep the texts coming in there. I did want to mention some Tom Willander news. So, obviously, signs the 3-year entry-level contract. That's the other breaking news of the day. Finally getting the deal done with the Vancouver Canucks. Rick Dhaliwal mentioned on Twitter that there were talks ongoing about Tom Willander joining the Abbotsford Canucks because they are in their Pacific Division final, I think it is. It's a best of five.
We've talked about
the Calder Cup playoffs are confusing.
Format. Yeah.
They're in the third round of five, basically. It's still best of five. The first two games in Abbotsford this Friday and Sunday against the Colorado Eagles. So theoretically, there was a world where Tom Willander could join the Abbotsford Canucks, get a few games in with the organization. So he said, Dhaliwal saying there are talks ongoing, but then he also added, to me, it feels like Tom Willander likely will not join Abbotsford, which if you read the statement from Patrick Alvin, let me try to find it here. He said, the hard work starts this summer, and we look forward to seeing where Tom is at this at this September at training camp.
Yeah, that's pretty clear.
Yeah, to me that and maybe he's bluffing. Maybe he's like, you know what, he might join Abbotsford. But to me that reads as Alvin going, hey, you know what, hope he has a good summer and we'll see him in September. Doesn't read as he might be joining the Abbotsford Canucks.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder, like, if they win this series,
would he join them?
Yes, because then you're going into a best of seven. You probably have a few days
you
off
could
in
use
between
them.
Two. Yeah, exactly. Best of, hey, you know what? It's a war of attrition in the playoffs, and if you can get another body,
don't
onto
you go
your roster,
all in during playoffs?
Might as well. 650. Dunbar Lumber text line. Keep the texts coming in there. We're also going to try to take some phone calls on the other side. So we'll open up the phone lines now, 604-280-0650. You can call in and we will get your take on the radio. That's what we're on. And your take about Adam Foote, Tom Hollander, whatever you want to talk
brunch
about.
Brunch food.
Brunch food, sure. We're still in brunch time.
We are.
So it doesn't feel like we're out of place as Canucks Brunch. But anyway.
As soon as we hit happy hour, that's when we're out of here.
It gets crazy. 650-650. You can text in and call in 604-280-0650. It is Canucks Brunch. Josh Elliott Wolf, Lena Setagian, and Sportsnet 650. Visit them online at racksteel.com. It's
are you okay?
Yeah, sorry.
Is this the end of zombie Shakespeare?
Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drantz. We'll dive deep into all that's happening with the Vancouver Canucks. Listen 12 to 2 p.m. on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Canucks Brunch. Josh Elliott Wolf, Lena Setagian here with you, coming to you live from the Kintech studio. Kintech Footwear and Orthotics working together with you
in step.
Wow. That was only supposed to be an irrational thing, Lena.
I know.
And you.
Well, I stole his thunder.
You did.
You stole my bit.
Arash,
mine.
In step.
Arash was involved.
I was worried he wasn't going to do it. And I didn't want to leave you hanging on your birthday.
I made sure to make very explicit eye contact with Arash.
It is known in the office that I am the shyest one of everyone.
Yeah, that's what we all say. Also, text in 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line. Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and reno warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at dunbarlumber.com.
You're not going to believe this. We have more breaking news.
What is it, Tom?
Ken Holland has officially been named the vice president and general manager of the LA Kings.
Right.
Wow.
So all the news happening today.
Official from the Kings. It had been reported a few days ago, but now official for the LA Kings. And also official, the Philadelphia Flyers naming Rick Tocchet as their new head coach.
Ken Holland, Vernon.
Just moved right past the Rick Tocchet.
Hey, he's from Vernon. That's
wow.
Neat.
Come on, that's neat.
Here's a quote from Rick Tocchet.
Why do you hate Vernon?
I have no problem with Vernon. I just thought it was funny.
He kind of scoffed there.
I know,
I
right?
like Vernon. Vernon's fun.
BC guy.
Yeah, good for Ken. Anyway, I have a quote from Rick Tocchet.
He's
Can
enough.
I read it? Yeah.
All right. Sure, let's hear it.
Quote from Rick Tocchet. In the statement released by the Flyers, I have always been a Flyer at heart and have taken that passion and energy that embodies this city and organization with me throughout my career. I want to thank Danny Briere, Keith Jones, and Dan Hilferty for this honor and opportunity. I couldn't be more excited to lead this team back among the NHL elite where we belong. We
wow.
have a lot of work to do and much to accomplish, but I am confident in the direction we are headed and determined to get us there. Man,
that hurts a little bit.
It did, honestly. I was like, yeah, man.
Embrace the hard.
He embraced the hard.
Yeah, do you think he's
in
gonna
Philly.
Do you think he's gonna carry that statement over, or he's gonna think of a new one?
Does he have to recycle it? Maybe he starts from the beginning. Meet pressure with pressure, you know?
That one went super well.
They have a sign up in the locker room.
It's like during the Canucks end of year sale, you could walk around and you just saw the plaques were removed and you're like, did Tocchet take it? Did he take the slogans with him?
And he just spray paints it black and orange.
Yeah, puts a little Flyers logo on it. He's going to start the press conference by being like, you know what? There's a big elephant here. Going to have to take some bites out of it.
One at a time.
One at a time.
I can't wait for him to be like, we have to reprogram Matvei Michkov.
Oh, people would love it.
Matvei Michkov is like a kid from Footloose. He's just like, I just want to dance. Why doesn't anyone let me dance? I just want to dance.
Every mirror they bring in doesn't let me dance. But now it's a head coach and it's Philadelphia. Anyway, we'll see how it goes with Michkov.
Do you think of a lot of wall guys in Philly?
Sure, maybe. Sure.
Philly's got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
But they've got a lot of cap space.
I don't think they're necessarily in a better position than the Vancouver Canucks, but they're surely in a less dramatic position than the Vancouver Canucks.
Sure.
How many coaches is this in Philly? Are you sure about
that? Yeah. You sure about that?
Sure about that? Well, how many coaches in Philly? Like, Torch was there. Torch was there for a while. Was he not?
Yeah.
What? He was there.
Flip
Hold on. Hold on. Let me go through the Flyers coaching.
It's been a circus in Philly.
So
like.
They had since 2020. Yeah, you're not wrong. Since 2020, they've had Alain Vigneault. Then they had Mike Yeo for 60 games. John Tortorella for 237 games from 2023 to 2025. Brad Shaw ended the season in Philly this year after Tortorella was like, I don't really know if I want to be here for a rebuild. That doesn't sound very fun. And then Brad Shaw came in, and now it's Rick Tocchet.
Yeah.
He didn't quite quit, Torts.
No, Torts
that
did,
was beautiful, that moment.
He loud quitted.
Yeah.
Well, he loud got fired, essentially.
Well, both.
I commend
you make statements
it.
Like that.
Yeah.
You're going to get fired.
650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. You can text in if you've got takes on Adam Foote, Rick Tocchet, Tom Hollander, whatever you want to text in about. But you can also call in 604-280-0650. We will take your phone calls now. And we do have someone on the line. Jake and Langley, what do you got?
Embrace the heart. My God. That's like backfired more than anything else, but... here's what I think is fascinating more than anything. So, Adam Foote here, he's going to be looking for like his specific type of kind of forwards, right? And Rick Tocchet is going to be looking for his specific type of forwards in Philly. The funny thing is, like, what if they're kind of looking for the same players in the off season here, and like there's kind of like an internal struggle on who's going to get those guys? Because yeah, different organizations and different kind of assets that each people to have and cap space and all that, but it's just a funny thing I just thought about in my head 2 seconds ago. And another thing is, with Willander signed now, the next question is, does he play a game for Vancouver at all, or is he going to be packaged with a first rounder, you know, to potentially get that legitimate number one or number two center? Like, so there's, those are the two things I'm just kind of just thinking about more than anything.
All right, thanks for the call, Jake. So sure. Tom Hollander, mm-hmm. I've been on this train, right?
Yes.
We've been talking about it.
You're like, get rid of him.
I'm not saying get rid of him. My
trade.
Okay. My take has been, I'm willing to move Tom Hollander with a first round pick mm-hmm. for the right piece. And my take has been, go find someone who's worth that price. And that doesn't necessarily mean you start with Hollander in first and you're like, okay, just take it. And hope that it works out. You negotiate there, and maybe it gets to the point where it is Willander in a first. But my point is, if you find someone that is worth the price of Tom Willander in a first-round pick, I don't know who that is. We'll see what names come up, and I'm sure around the draft there's going to be a lot of noise surrounding the Vancouver Canucks and their 15th overall pick. But I'm open to it. Like,
yeah.
you have a lot of depth on defense.
Yes, and they need... You know, Jim Rutherford gave this number. They need three players.
Yeah.
Three impact players. You can't just acquire three impact players without giving up things that have a high upside, high value. Now, I don't know if you were asleep this season.
Me?
Yeah.
No, I was awake for parts of it.
There weren't too many things, too many players that you could offer up right now that look like they have a high upside with the performance that was put out this season. Mm-hmm. So, who's an easy trade bait?
For the Canucks?
Yeah.
Like, to move on from the Canucks.
Yeah. Willander's
like,
one.
Willander's one who you're like, who knows what he can be?
Yeah.
But also, if you're the Canucks, you're like, well, who knows what he can be? You know, it goes both ways. On one hand, you're like, hey, he might be the defenseman of the future, the partner for Quinn Hughes that they've been searching for. They have it in Filip Hronek, but maybe Tom Molander can be that too. And then you can move Filip Hronek down. It all works out so perfectly.
Or do you use Filip Hronek as trade bait?
No, no.
Well, you're biased. I do think his name has come up more, though. Especially now that Molander is signed.
Yeah.
He doesn't, like, his no-move clause, I believe, doesn't kick in until July 1st as well. Same as Elias Pettersson.
But they just signed a Quinn Hughes guy. Now you're going to trade a Quinn Hughes guy?
But Quinn Hughes can be partnered up with essentially anyone. And
I could play with Quinn Hughes, and it'd still probably be okay.
Yeah.
And I'm bad at talking,
It's not like Quinn Hughes is in dire need of a partner to elevate his game. Right?
No.
So,
and I would honestly be, I would be very excited to see, and maybe you don't see it right away, because I don't think in the end they do trade Filip Hronek or move anyone.
Listen, I'm trying to throw names here.
Yeah, no, I think it's a fine name, and people have been throwing it out too. I'd be excited to see a Tom Molander Quinn Hughes pairing, because the skating, that's one of Molander's biggest strengths, is his skating. That to me would be very exciting. The pairing of two elite skaters on the back end. Not that Filip Hronek is bad, but it'd be exciting. I'd be intrigued.
Won't we sooner see Garland and Bluger get traded?
So Garland was the next name on my list, right? I love Connor Garland. I love what he's had to offer to this team.
This is peak Connor Garland.
This is peak Connor Garland. Look at what he did this season. Yeah. He was their top six. He was on PP1. Now, it's not to say that's where he belongs. Obviously, he was playing.
You know what? I would make the argument he definitely doesn't belong on Power Play 1.
Yes.
But regardless,
well, obviously,
continue.
Yeah. I mean, when you saw Lekker Mäki step into PP1.
Oh, he looks
smooth.
You're
like, wait.
Yeah, this guy's pretty
good.
Yeah.
Should we
This
keep
looks a little
that?
Better. Yeah.
So he's turning 30 next year. He's played and showed his value this season. He's arguably at his peak. Is this not a good time to sell Connor Garland? But can the Canucks afford the hole in yet another player that needs to be replaced?
Mm-hmm. So
they lose Connor Garland.
We get a couple texts in, Tatiana and Langley. So who do you guys think we're getting back when Connor Garland demands a trade to Philly? And also Danik Quitlam. I'm not a fan of trading another first round pick, but what do you think of Garland to Philly? He's been Tocchet's hockey talisman through many years. That's Dan on Pine Tree. And yeah, like it's the connection is very clear between Connor Garland and Rick Tocchet. And
I spoke to NHL Network.
Said he loves him. Any team would be lucky to have him. And that team is Philadelphia. So I certainly wouldn't be opposed to trading Connor Garland. Now, obviously, part of it depends on what Adam Foote thinks of Garland now and the coaching staff that he brings in, how that all looks. That plays a big part because maybe they view Connor Garland as someone that is a key piece of this team, and I do think of him as someone that, you know, isn't a key core piece, but maybe on the outside of the core. But I just wonder if there is a fit on another team for Connor Garland. Like, I certainly would not be opposed to trading him and exploring what that market looks like. Now, I do question the value of him. Like, is he more valuable to you as on your team than he is in a trade?
Right.
That's kind of the thing we've been talking about with Thatcher Demko as well, where it's like, hey, you know what? His value might be so in the tank right now that he's more valuable to you than he is in a trade. With Garland, it's not that his value is in the tank. It's more just that, like, do teams not value him as high as he should be valued because of his stature, all of that? Hey, not a clear power play one guy. Like, I don't know how many teams would jump at getting Connor Garland on their team. Even if we look at him and we say, hey, you know what? He's a very key piece of the Canucks. Do teams view him the same way that Canucks fans do? That would be my question.
I've got another one, Benny from the Mox. I want to trade Tom Molander and Quinn Hughes. We are trapped in mediocrity again because, well, Linden wasn't allowed to rebuild when we needed it. I want the Canucks to be a legitimate Stanley Cup contender before my dad dies. He's been waiting a long time. Go get a king's ransom for Quinn now before he walks next year for nothing, and then we will be forced to rebuild.
So you do have 2 years, right? Yeah, this year and next season. The take I kind of got flamed for, and I'm sticking to it, when we were at the Nat a couple weeks ago, was that there's no benefit to trading Quinn Hughes now. And my reasoning for that, I know some people are going to look at it and be like, well, you have 2 years as opposed to 1 year of Quinn Hughes, so clearly teams are going to give you so much more. I don't think that's the case. I think even if you wait till next season, teams are going to give you a godfather offer for Quinn Hughes. They're going to give you their best prospect. They're going to give you a bunch of picks. They're going to give you young roster players. If you trade him this season, all you're doing, or this offseason, all you're doing is...
accelerating the rebuild.
No, you're conceding that Quinn Hughes isn't going to sign in Vancouver. You're giving up on that dream. And also, like, you're maybe getting another pick. I don't think that makes a big difference in the grand scheme. For me, there's more value in trying to sell your franchise generational defenseman on staying in Vancouver than there is on, you know, getting a 1 year head start on a rebuild, personally. And maybe it still comes to that point next season. You look at it, Quinn Hughes is like, hey, I don't know if I'm going to stay in Vancouver. You make that decision then. I don't think you need to rush the decision.
Lots of people texting in about Garland's relationship with Quinn Hughes as well.
Yes.
They're best friends. Isn't Hughes Garland's kid's godfather? We had another text in by Elliot, not Friedman, but
could you
Elliot.
Imagine Elliot Friedman? He's off the show and now he's got takes.
They're not trading Connor Garland. They just put his face on the posters on the arena.
Buddy,
read the signs,
buddy.
Guys,
that doesn't stop them from doing anything.
Brock Besser's all over the arena. He's
yeah.
about to walk.
Yeah. I like the sentiment though. It's like, oh, Canucks, like Alvin is like, hey, we got this great offer for Garland, but he's on a sign outside the arena, so we can't trade him. Unfortunate. Tough break.
So we offer. So they offer sheet Luke Hughes is what I'm hearing.
Okay. Yeah. You're hearing that?
I don't think
like
Luke
that's
Hughes.
The strategy.
I don't think strategy. I don't think Luke Hughes can be offer sheeted.
He cannot be offer sheeted.
He's RFA.
Yeah. But
yeah.
He,
but there's two different kinds of RFA.
All yeah. Right. He's not the one.
So they sign Luke Hughes. What I'm hearing.
Right. Well, trade for Luke Hughes.
Yeah.
Just
get Luke Hughes.
The ultimate chaos version of a Luke Hughes situation is he signs a one-year deal in New Jersey, and we're all like, why would he sign a one-year deal?
Because he's coming to Vancouver.
Because then next year they could offer sheet him, or they could be like, hey, let's figure out a trade. Then you got two Hughes's.
Sign
What's Jack going to do?
Sign and trade?
I mean, I'd be open to it.
I mean, here's part of the thing is that we're talking about this Quinn Hughes window. Quinn Hughes has not asked for a trade. Everyone's pretty much said, Talkett said, nah, I don't want to really be here. Besser's being like, yeah, I'm not going to really re-sign here. The seats, yeah, we'd like to leave, you know? it seems like they've given these players and management groups and coaches the opportunity of being like, hey, if you want out, coming out. That's the bonus and benefit here. So that Quinn Hughes hasn't come and asked for a trade or really made it known that, you know, oh, I want out of Vancouver. But at the start of next season, you'll have your answer because he's either going to tell you, let's wait. I just want to see how the season goes to resign. Or he's going to come and say, let's just do extension right now.
Yeah.
And you know your answer.
Then
you take the onus.
I do think if you're Canucks management, you need an answer next summer. Like you can't go into next season being like, well, maybe they trade him at the deadline. Maybe they extend him at some point during the season. You need, like, I know Jim Rutherford went on one of the many podcasts he goes on.
Big podcast guy.
Oh, there are those mouse sounds again.
No, that was just, I just said words wrong. Big podcast guy. But he went on one and said, you know what? They have a year and two-thirds with Quinn Hughes because not this deadline, but the next one would be when you make the decision on Quinn Hughes. To me, that would be a clear mistake because injuries can happen. A lot can happen over the course of a season. And if he got injured, if it's a season-ending injury and you don't have an extension in place, and we're talking about a year and two-thirds in the future, you have just completely... Any hope at like accelerating a rebuild has been
nerfed
entirely.
Yeah.
And so you need to make a decision on Quinn Hughes next summer. Either he extends or he doesn't. We'll see how it goes.
Mike, the urologist from Brockville, kind of responding to Benny from the Mox's text. You know what, Benny? It doesn't matter if they trade Quinn or now or later. If they trade Willander, if they hire Foot or Manny, this team is just not going to achieve the ultimate success. And they're never rebuilding, so just settle into your seat of eternal mediocrity and accept yours and your father's fate. And he texts again, sorry, was that too negative?
All right, just to be a little positive.
I'm so happy for you. Go ahead.
Because we're talking about fate. You know, the one interesting thing about the NHL playoffs every year that this happens is that certain teams and fan bases work themselves into devaluing some of their star players. Like, you look at Toronto right now, what Austin Matthews is going through. Now, mm-hmm. I know he's injured, he's not scoring, whatever.
Well, it's not confirmed.
Well, it's not confirmed, but, you know, people are speculating.
Yeah.
Luka being the example. Oh, Luka, he's drinking a beer after a thing. In terms of the Canucks obtaining talent, that talent might not be in the rumor mill or available to, you know, our listening ears right now. But as the playoffs go through, as the cap goes through, I think we're going to be surprised with some of the names that might be available the Canucks might be able to go and get. I think there's a window for a little bit of talent to come the Vancouver Canucks way.
Yeah, I could see that. I do think there's that's why I'm like, I don't want to throw names out there because so much can change in the next month and a half. When it comes to teams that get eliminated from the playoffs, guys that, hey, maybe teams look at them and they were maybe going to sign an extension in the summer, but all of a sudden they're not open to that anymore. A lot can happen. A lot can change in a month and a half in the NHL. I'm excited to see what names come up. It's always exciting when you're the team that's looking to acquire a top six forward. Because anytime those big names come up, it's like, oh man, the Canucks could go get that guy. Like, that's going to be on their list. So it will be. It'll be fun to see what names pop up on the rumor mill over the next. How long do we have until the draft? Like 40 days around.
Yeah,
there?
Five weeks. Yeah, 5 weeks.
5 weeks. Okay.
You know what the scariest thing about all of this is? It's terrifying because we can sit here and ponder and speculate.
Spiders.
Them too, depending on how big they are. None of this matters if Pettersson doesn't get back to form. Like, they could have the perfect offseason, and if Pettersson comes into camp and he's not 100-point guy Pettersson, it all goes down the drain.
I don't know if they're going to let that happen again. I don't know.
How can they not let that happen?
I think...
It comes down to the player.
Yeah. No. It comes down to the player. But I think in the window, when we can't get to July 1st, I think from how much stress has been put on this organization to the players of him coming into camp and all this stuff, they have a month or 2 months left here to make a decision on this contract. Yes. And this player. And from every time that Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin come out, they've been mentioning, yeah, we believe in the player, but we're disappointed. We believe in the player, but he needs to learn how to be a pro. He's 26, turning 27 in November. They have a chance here to make a decision on this player in the offseason and make sure they don't put themselves in a position where they're wondering, okay, did he go to – he went to Base Coast again or whatever? What's going on here?
Stagecoach.
You say Base Coach? Yeah,
he said Base Coast.
Oh, Base Coast.
I think that's a
– Is that a thing too?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a thing. That's what kids do.
All right. I don't know. Now you're scrambling. I don't know. Anyway, I do – okay. So you bring up, hey, you have a month and a half to make a decision on Elias Pettersson too. The thing I'm saying now and the thing I've said, the thing I'm going to keep saying
faith in him.
Over the summer, it's that. But also, if you're going to keep Quinn Hughes, if you're going to sell him on staying in Vancouver, you need to find all the guys with the most upside possible this summer. And that's why bringing it back to Adam Foote being promoted as the head coach, it doesn't feel like the highest upside move. And that's why I'm not super pumped about it. Because I think you need to maximize upside in order to keep Quinn Hughes past two seasons from now. And trading Elias Pettersson, I don't think you're getting a player back in return that has more upside than him. And I'm like, for me, I'm not concerned about the floor of this Vancouver Canucks team. I'm only concerned about the ceiling. And if Elias Pettersson is bad next season, whatever. you're probably trading Quinn Hughes and you're getting that rebuild started and the team is bad. You're getting a good pick and a good draft. I don't care.
But you're okay with the anchor then?
That's
because you took the shot.
Quinn Hughes. That's to me, that's a bet I would rather make than you know, trading him for a second line center that might be good and a pick or whatever it is.
That cap risk is too tall.
The cap risk is big, but I just feel that they would rather go with the sure thing. I think they want to find the sure thing that might have a lower ceiling that they know, like Bo Horvat. They'd rather get a Horvat type to come in and know the guy's going to be there through all 82, and you know what you're going to get as instead of the Swede that you don't know.
The lotto ticket.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, I prefer if the Canucks went all in on lotto tickets this summer, that's the better move to me. The Washington Capitals did it last year, and now look at them. They're looking pretty good.
Yeah, but you know what the thing about lotto tickets are? The odds aren't in your favor.
Yeah.
And but teams like the Canucks don't deal in low odd moves.
I'm saying they should. That's the road.
You are on fire today.
Well, I got stuck in between road and route.
It's a 3-hour show.
Man. I'm getting all flustered.
You guys are doing great, by the way. Everyone's doing fine.
Technically 1+2 for those who are listening.
What does that equal, Dom?
First hour of Canucks Brunch is up on the People Show podcast page. If you want to catch the Elliot Friedman interview, catch it on the Canucks Talk podcast page.
Yeah, so 11 and noon will be on the People Show, already up there right now. Yeah. And then noon to 2, once we're wrapped up, will be on the Canucks Talk podcast page. Before we go, should we do a one to watch brought to you by Delaney's OK Tire?
Elias Pettersson in the offseason?
That's one of them. But we do have, so we can't even, we don't even have time to talk about the games tonight in the NHL.
Is Austin Matthews not the obvious one to watch?
I think he is. Yeah. I think he has to be. Is that the one you're watching?
That's the one I'm watching.
For just to see if he can do something?
He's yet to score a goal in this playoff series. Mm-hmm. So would be nice to see him score.
Yeah. The Leafs need it.
Josh, I regret to inform you, we still have 30 minutes to go. So we do have time to talk about.
Well, I'm probably going to, we're probably just going to keep talking about the Canucks.
Really?
There's a lot going on. They did some things today, Arash. Two things.
It's a good way to mask the Winnipeg Jets being on the brink of elimination.
It's a big win.
We got to take the L. I feel like we got to line up.
It's time.
Yeah. We both wanted the Jets to win.
Noted Jets fans.
Wow. We both picked the Jets while you guys buried
them. I'm a Jets fan too.
We are the Jets.
New York Jets. Anyway, so yeah, the one to watch tonight, we'll go with Austin Matthews. I completely agree with that call from Lena. It's time to put on your Toyo tires. Whether you drive a car, light truck, or van, Toyo tires are designed to perform in all kinds of conditions. Visit Delaney's OK Tire in Langley and Aldergrove OK Tire. Service, repair, and tires. So that Leafs game, it's at 4:00 tonight in Toronto against the Panthers. Series tied at 2, the only series tied at 2, game 5, and then game 5 between the Oilers and Golden Knights at 6:30. Edmonton can close out Vegas with
the
win.
You think they do it tonight?
I kind of think they do. My confidence in the Golden Knights is pretty low at the moment. And I picked them to win, but Edmonton is just annoyingly scary right now. So what do you think?
I have a gut feeling Vegas is going to win tonight. But we'll see.
Okay. We'll see. I'm going Edmonton. You're going Vegas. We'll see what happens.
They need one for their pride.
They definitely do. Keep the texts coming in. 650-650. We'll hit some more on the other side. It is Canucks Brunch. Josh Elliott Wolf. Lena Sataghian. Sportsnet 650.
Yeah.
Sportsnet 650. Vancouver.
Welcome back to Canucks Brunch. Josh Elliott Wolf, Lena Sataghian here with you. Coming to you live from the Kintex studio. You can text in 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line.
Instep.
Well, it wasn't an instep one.
He's trying so hard to make instep happen.
Yeah. We do that at the top of the hour, Dom. This is the bottom. It's 1:35.
Instep.
Anyway, I can't hate you.
I'm too much of a rascal.
He hates himself too much.
Yeah.
I'm my biggest critic. What can I say?
This hour brought to you by Rack Steel. Rack Steel offers industry-leading heli-forklifts and engineered racking solutions. Visit us online at racksteel.com.
Should we round up everything that's gone on so far since this is our last segment before we turn it over to Bik Nazar and Randy Pjanda?
Sure. Walk us through it.
Okay, so first and foremost... what do I want to say?
Okay, Lena.
What do I want to say?
Really killed that one.
Okay, okay. So we wake up this morning, we hear about Rick Tocchet, Flyers closing in on Rick Tocchet. Okay, cool.
Now it's official.
Okay, now it's official. As Philly Flyers tweeted, "Welcome home, Tock.
Cowards.
We're proud to announce that Rick Tocchet has been named the 25th head coach in franchise history." Okay, stings a little. Okay, the Canucks finally announce their head coach.
Kind of a surprise. Came sooner than I think a lot of people thought it would.
Yep.
Adam Foote.
Put your foots up.
Foots up.
Foots up for Adam Foote. Foots up.
Okay. So that's
going to be his next. That's going to be his slogan.
The slogan, embrace the foot.
Hashtag foots up.
Foots up. Is that tusks up?
Start on the right foot.
Oh,
put your best foot forward.
Oh,
best foot forward, yeah.
Hold on. Think of all that. Maybe this is why he got hired. All the marketing opportunities. Anyway, continue.
Embrace the foot.
Embrace the foot.
Lots of foot content coming up.
We're going to make millions.
Meet feet.
How many foot picks are we going to see this year?
So many foot picks.
A lot of foot picks. I think we're going to be
the demand is high for foot picks.
The Instagram page is littered with foot picks right now.
All
okay.
Right. So some more Pacific Division news.
Yeah.
Welcome to LA, Ken Holland.
Yeah.
The 10th GM in franchise history. Most
small
importantly,
amount.
Ken Holland of Vernon, BC.
Which is a very nice place. Very nice place. It's a very nice place. And then also, you didn't mention Tom Elander.
Oh, of course.
Tom Elander signing an ELC with the
After
Vancouver Canucks.
Much speculation, much time needed
to
sign the Canucks' top prospect, Tom Elander.
Yeah, it all got figured out. Good for the Canucks, good for Tom Elander. I'm actually very excited to see how he looks come training camp because I don't know. He's been an intriguing prospect. The Canucks have had a couple intriguing defensive prospects lately. Elias Pettersson, the big one, Victor Mancini.
We love DPD.
Yeah. Victor Mancini has been good. Obviously newer to the organization, but Tom Elander has been the one who has the most upside. Like he was drafted the highest. He's shown pretty well in university, college. So I'm excited to see what he brings and if he is able to crack the roster at the start of next season, because that would be a big thing. And it will, if he's able to make the lineup and, you know, have an instant impact, not just be a third pairing guy. And I'm not trying to put pressure on him. Maybe he will be someone that starts in Abbotsford. I would have no problem with that too. But all of a sudden, the Canucks defense, you look at it and it's like, okay, you have Tom Elander. If he fits into the top four, that would be great. You have Filip Hronek there too. Quinn Hughes, obviously. You have Marcus Pettersson. And then your third pairing, we talk about Elias Pettersson. He's been playing really well. That's your third pairing guy. I have no problem with that. And Tyler Myers on the third pair too, where he belongs. Because, you know, it's just, he thrives there. I actually really like Tyler Myers when he was playing on the third pair.
Mm-hmm.
It's when he gets more minutes than it's where I start to get a little concerned about Tyler Myers.
Quickly about Ken Holland, should Patrick Alvin not be just like picking up the phone right now, calling Los Angeles and be like, hey man, you looking to make some deals?
How do you feel about Quentin Byfield? You like him?
You saw him in the playoffs. He couldn't get the puck out of the zone. Fourth round pick. And Ken's like, well,
I have to consider it.
I got Zetterberg in the seventh.
You do have to make some calls. LA is a team. They're a very intriguing team to me, especially now that Ken Holland is the guy. We'll see who he's married to on that roster. There's always a big shift when a new GM comes in, right? So we'll see what how he goes about things. I find it interesting that, you know, he was the GM in Edmonton for so long. Edmonton beat LA quite often.
Very often.
Including this year.
And this year was meant to be the year that they could tame the beast.
Yeah. Is he the guy that, you know, finally gets them over the edge against
like,
his former team?
I know all the secrets.
Yeah.
I know how they've beat you.
This McDavid and Draisaitl guy, or both of them, they're pretty good. Got to figure out a way to beat them. I don't know how. I don't know what to do, but that's the secret. 650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. This one. So we were talking about Quinn Hughes and like, hey, eventually you might, I don't even know how to frame it, but eventually you might get in a position where you have to consider a rebuild because the team just, you move on from Quinn Hughes and you're in a bad spot. We get a text and we've had a few of these throughout the show. What's your evidence that a rebuild would ever be considered? Vancouver Canucks, notoriously, not a team that likes to rebuild.
Mm-mm.
They did it by accident, kind of, when Jim Benning was here. And you end up with Elias Pettersson, you end up with Quinn Hughes. But it was never a full, you know, tank, try to get first overall. They were always trying to be good, and they just weren't.
They didn't sell assets for draft picks.
Exactly. There was never an accumulation of picks or anything like that. So, again, in this situation, I'm not saying they would fully embrace it.
But it would be forced.
You'd be forced to.
Yeah.
Like, if you have to trade Quinn Hughes...
That's a rebuild.
You're rebuilding. And especially because... Well, okay, I guess...
So what happens with Pettersson?
You figure it out. You either... Well...
Josh.
Well, there's still a world where Elias Pettersson bounces back, and Quinn Hughes still says, I want to go.
Yeah.
Right?
Small chance of that happening, but yes.
Is it a small chance?
I think so.
What's the small chance that Elias Pettersson bounces back or that Hughes...
If Elias Pettersson bounces back and this team takes a step forward, the chance that Quinn Hughes will just leave is small. He's not going to leave a winner.
Right. Well, I guess what I'm saying is, so let's say Elias Pettersson bounces back, but they aren't able to add enough this offseason and they're a playoff team, but not a great one. Does Quinn Hughes look at that and he's like, yeah, this guy got better, but... I could still go to New Jersey and be in a much better team. That's a situation. I think it's not super, like, I don't know how realistic I'll say it is, but I think it's in the realm of possibility.
It's also not guaranteed that the Devils are going to continue this upward trend.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it kind of is. They got a lot of good young pieces. They're a pretty good team. And, like, it's frustrating because I wish they were bad.
Did we think the Canucks were going to be this bad this season? Like, stuff happens, Josh.
Yeah.
No, but they kind of have more pieces than the Vancouver Canucks do. And the Devils, like, it's pretty easy for them to look at this postseason and their early exit and just be like, well, had a lot of injuries. Hard to overcome that. Their best player, Jack Hughes, was out of the lineup for stretches of time, including the playoffs.
I just want to point out that this is a Canucks team that not that long ago, down the middle, had Bo Horvat, JT Miller, and Elias Pettersson with Quinn Hughes on defense.
Yeah, but the rest of the defense and the rest of the forwards, they weren't super
great.
Life
moves fast. That's my only point.
That's
fair.
Things
happen.
Fair enough. I look at the Devils as a team that they have cap space. Like that. I don't see a reason why they would get worse, is what I'm saying. And things can happen. We've seen in Vancouver. Things can happen. But I don't know if I look at New Jersey as a team that I'd bet on that happening too.
Well... I kind of have to piggyback off what Dom said. Who would have expected the Canucks season to go as badly as it did this season?
Not Jim. Said it was the worst season in his 40 years in hockey.
Yeah, it's tough. I'd say he's like, man, I've been around for a while. This sucked. This was tough.
Tim texted into the Dunbar Lumber text line, what if the Canucks win a round and make the playoffs? Does Quinn stay? I feel like a lot more needs to happen than just a round of playoffs.
Yeah,
honestly,
right?
It's the trend.
Yeah.
How is the team trending?
And honestly, we have no idea. We also have no idea what Quinn Hughes is thinking. Maybe he isn't even thinking these things.
No.
Maybe he's like, wow, I just want to stay in Vancouver forever.
Listen, the reason why we're even speculating this is because Jim Rutherford said, you know, well, Quinn Hughes wants to play with his
old
brothers.
Jimmy Podcast, doing all the shows.
Is that what we're calling him now?
Yeah, Jimmy Podcast.
Jimmy P.
But yeah, that added a lot of fuel to the fire.
Of course, it was an obvious...
Yes. But then when it's actually put out into the world by someone with authority on the situation, it's like, oh no, it's real. I didn't want this to be real. And now it is. And now we have to talk about it. But it's a lot of needless panic at the moment. We can panic about it when we get to the situation.
How is it needless?
It's
there's an urgency.
That's kind of short-sighted to say that.
Well, no, I'm like,
you have 5 weeks to figure out whether or not you want to trade Pettersson.
Right. I'm talking about the Quinn Hughes part of this. I'm just saying
it's a puzzle piece.
They're not going to make there's no decision to make on Quinn Hughes right now. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying we don't have to panic at the moment. I'm saying I'm not saying the panic isn't warranted or isn't coming, but right now, we can talk about it, but it's all hypothetical, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Because we don't know what he's thinking. We don't know what the team is going to be. The one thing that would go a long way in shedding light on the situation and maybe improving the situation is if Elias Pettersson bounces back, if the Canucks are good next season. That's all you can do. That's all you can control. And outside of that, even if that does happen, even if the Canucks are good next season, there is still a world where Quinn Hughes leaves. But we cross that bridge when we get there. Next year. That's a then problem. Or if you start this season, if this season goes off the rails, maybe they make a decision at this year's trade deadline.
So what you're saying is take it one step at a time.
Day by, you know what? We live day to day.
No.
We live in today. Today,
just
today's
put one
world.
Foot in front of the other.
Yeah. Ah. Move forward. I see.
Yeah.
One foot in front of the other. One Adam foot.
We live foot by foot.
Yes.
Jason in North Van texted in, there's absolutely no reason Quinn Hughes would want to stay in Vancouver. The Canucks would have to make epic changes top to bottom to even get into the conversation of being a contender. If Quinn went, Hughes wants to win. Quinn Hughes needs to go somewhere else.
We have heard that Quinn Hughes cares that he's the captain of this team and that this team went astray under his leadership as the leading player in the clubhouse. That text is simply not true.
Well, it's just has he asked for a trade?
No.
So calm down.
Yeah.
Everyone just needs to take a step.
That's all I'm trying to say.
I get it. And the other thing is that I'm curious about with this organization and the management group is that a lot of times there's been these windows that have opened for them. So they're in the Quinn Hughes window. I'm curious if at just any point they just kind of are like, you know what? We don't care whether we're to take that risk of turning this plan of maybe getting back to the playoffs and becoming successful. I don't know if we're interested in this one year and two-thirds arbitrary window that is coming because of this player. Maybe, you know what? We just need to figure something new out and we need to just kind of move on. I don't know, but
yeah.
But hey, new seats.
New seats.
I'm excited for the new seats.
Are you guys into the getting seats? The old seats?
Oh,
are you guys calling season ticket holders?
Absolutely.
Being like,
hey, the seats.
Cam and I had a little discussion about this on our little group chat, and I would not buck up. I know. I understand it's a donation.
It's $50. It's not that much.
In today's economy, that's a week's worth of groceries for a seat.
Whoa, where are you getting a week's worth of groceries for $50?
I spent $50 in I spent $50 in one go. Yeah. And that doesn't even make a meal
that's,
for
that's
myself.
2 days of food if I'm lucky.
Shout out to Donald's Market, kids. Go to Donald's Market.
If you're gonna drop here's the thing. You're dropping $50 donation for a seat. You get the seat. There is no way you just stick that thing in your man cave and just leave it be. You have to put in some serious elbow grease and restore that thing if you're going to have it on display in your
I would agree.
In your area, right?
You need to steam clean in a way that has not been steam cleaned.
I'm ripping it all apart. I'm deep cleaning every aspect of it and maybe adding some new elements.
It's already kind of been ripped apart.
At that point, is it the seat? You know? It's what's the
ship of Theseus.
Ship of Theseus, yeah. Theseus?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. That ship. It's that conversation.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
The one thing I said is if I had a man cave, I don't. But if I did and I had an open wall where it would just be decoration.
A row of walls.
I wouldn't use it for seating. I'd just have two seats on the wall. I'd be like, oh, those are old Rogers Arena seats. Even then I'd be like, they kind of look gross though, don't they?
If I procured a row back here, would you sit in them?
No.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's the answer.
All right, let's catch up on some of these texts. Dalvier on the Dunbar Lumber text line, 650, 650, or as Josh likes to say, 650, 650.
Sometimes.
If Quinn Hughes leaves the Canucks, myself and a lot of Canucks fans won't panic, we'll leave. they're not the only pro hockey team in town anymore.
True.
That's right.
Well, we got PWHL.
They've got their own practice facility.
They do. They do.
Snoop Dogg's coming to town for the BC Lions. Whitecaps are top of the table.
Get pumped. 650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. Keep the texts coming in. We're wrapping up our show here. To break down the news again, Adam Foote, 22nd head coach of the Vancouver Canucks, taking over for Rick Tocchet. It had been, again, it was a decision that to me was made sooner than I would have thought. I thought this was going to drag on until after the Abbotsford Canucks playoffs, they had wrapped up their postseason. And then either you make a decision, like I did think it was going to be Manny Malhotra.
Same.
I thought he was going to be the guy. He wasn't. But I thought the decision as a whole would just take longer than it's obviously taken because they made the decision today.
And what else?
So also, Tom Molander signing an ELC with the Vancouver Canucks. Very excited about that. That opens up a world of possibilities for the Vancouver Canucks and what they can do this offseason when it comes to making trades. All of a sudden, not that you couldn't trade Tom Molander before, but now he has the three-year contract. It's a little bit easier to either factor him into your future plans or another team's future plans. So that opens up a lot of trade options, which I think we can get into as the weeks go on leading up to the draft. Not just about Tom Molander, because I'm excited about what he can be as a player, you know, like with the Vancouver Canucks. I'm excited to see what he could do if he does stay with the team throughout the season, doesn't get moved.
And as someone had texted in previously, right-handed D is like a treasured role.
It's
very
hard to find.
Rare to find.
It's a reason. It's kind of the reason when the Canucks drafted him that I was like, you know what? This is a guy who, even if he isn't as talented, I guess, and I don't even, for me, I don't have questions about his talent, but let's say, I know a lot of people were looking at Zach Benson after, and they were like, oh, you should have taken Zach Benson. To me, it's always like a right-handed defenseman is always going to be more valuable than a winger. And so as long as Tom Molander didn't plummet in college, which he didn't, he played pretty well, he was always going to have a lot of value. And so having a right-handed defenseman, another one in the system, is a really, really good thing. And it opens up trade opportunities that, again, we'll get into as the weeks go on for either Molander or maybe you look at moving someone like Victor Mancini. I don't know. But you have options. And that's the exciting thing about the signing. It adds another layer to what the Canucks can do this offseason. And then out of town, Rick Tocchet officially goes to the Philadelphia Flyers. He will be their new head coach, ditching the Vancouver Canucks for the Philadelphia Flyers. And Matvei Michkov, probably pumped. Just out there, just real jazzed about the signing.
Throwing fist bumps.
Yes! They got Tocchet. They're bringing him back. Also, Ken Holland officially in as GM and vice president of
Vernon's
the
own.
LA Kings. Vernon's own. Appreciate everyone texting in 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line. Everyone listening as well. Thank you to everyone who joined us throughout the show today. Jamie Dodd, Elliot Friedman, Brendan Batchelor. Coming up next, it's Vic Nizar, Randy Chanda. They'll keep the Canucks talk going, and then Canucks Central will take over after them. Thank you to Dom. Thank you to Arash. Thank you to Kieran. Thank you to my co-host, Lena Sategian. I've been Josh Elliott-Wolf. This has been Canucks Brunch on Sportsnet 650.